in Luke chapter 10. We left off last night talking about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. And by the way, just to refresh your memories a little bit, amen, we talked about, I tried to get you to see what the world's really like. You remember I said, get back up on this pickup truck. And I what I did is I dissected verse 30. If you remember, just to refresh your memory a little bit, to get ready for the next part two of the Good Samaritan, I said last night, verse 30, and I said, and a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You remember I told you Jerusalem, what? Is, the meaning of Jerusalem is what? It's a blessing. Place of blessing. Jericho is a cursed place. That's what it means. A place of curse. That's what Jericho means. And then those two words went down. Went down. Remember, Jericho is above Jerusalem. If I'm going down to Florida, I'm going to say I'm going down to Florida. If I'm going to Texas, I'm saying I'm going down to Texas. Well, this geographically was not below Jericho was not below Jerusalem. It was above. So, but why did God? But God makes no mistakes in the King James Bible. Amen. He said, went down, went down. Well, I believe that any time you leave the place of blessing and you go to the cursed place, you're going down. You're going down spiritually. You're going down emotionally. You're going down physically and mentally. Amen. You're going down. And that's what happened, here. I believe this is a picture of the fall of man. The fall of man. Hey, listen, Adam had everything for it. He had it was a perfect place. It was a place of blessing. Amen. He had everything. And then what happened is God created woman. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. No, what happened is because they disobeyed God, then now they end up in a cursed place. This world. Amen. Hey, this world's accursed. I said, this world's accursed. You want me to tell you, I know, because God's going to create a new one one day. And He's going to create the right kind of world. Amen. This place cursed. And I tried to get you to see that last night. And then look what the rest of this verse in verse 30 says. And he fell among what? Thieves. Didn't say thief. It says thieves. You remember I said this world's full of thieves. It's not only one thief in this world. There's a thief of alcohol. There's a thief of greed. There's a thief of discontentment. There's a thief of pride. There's a thief of pornography. There's a thief of all kinds of mess going on. The divorce, broken homes. There's a thief out there destroying. Can I have amen? Trying to destroy that. Look, Satan's a destroyer. He's a liar. I said he's a liar. He's a liar. He's out to destroy and steal. He's a thief, and he's got a bunch of thieves called demons. It's called demons, and they're out to destroy, and they're out to kill, and divide. That's their job. They divide homes. They divide churches. They divide countries. Amen. I'm telling you that's what they do. So there's thieves out there. And what are they doing? They're stripping them of their what? Their raiment. Now, God stopped there. A raiment. And I said, what kind of raiment? The raiment of joy. People are having the raiment of joy stripped off of them. The raiment of peace. The raiment of content. Being content. God wants you to be content. Can I have amen? But we live in a world that don't know how to be content. Amen. It's being stripped from people. And their happiness and their joy and their purity and all those things are being stripped from them tonight. Is everybody with me? And so we see that stripped them of his raiment and wounded him. Wounded him. Boy, there's a lot of wounded people today. A lot of wounded people. A lot of wounded people. Look, there's battered wives out there tonight. There's women that are hurting tonight. There are men that are hurting tonight. There's people that have been victimized tonight. Is everybody with me? We live in a perverted generation. And a lot of people are being wounded tonight. Being hurt tonight. Violated. I said violated. Violated. I can just tell you story after story as a pastor, and have people have come in my office and poured their heart out. Unbelievable hurt. Unbelievable hurt that I can't even believe. I can't even believe. I shared the story last night about that little girl that her own daddy walked in with a 12-gauge shotgun, blowed his mama's brain, her mama's brains out, turned around, blowed. Don't you know that kind of stuff happens today? Don't you know that stuff happens? I mean, there's wounded people, there's hurting people out there, and departed, lonely. We talked, who was it went soul winning with me today, Josh. We met a man today. He's by himself. He's by himself. He lives alone. He probably just sits in our house and drinks. And he has no family. He has no friends. His life is nothing but loneliness. Don't you know that's out there everywhere? Is everybody with me? Don't you know that's out there everywhere? Don't you know that there's some lonely wife out there tonight? Don't you know? We talked to one today. We talked to one day, won her to Christ. Thank God she got saved. Amen. But her husband walked out on her. She's got two children, trying to raise two children. Hey, don't you know? There's some mama sitting out there tonight that her son's been killed. There's some mama sitting at home tonight. Her son was killed in the military. And they don't know where to turn. Can I have amen? They don't know where to turn tonight. I'm telling you, there's people lonely tonight. And then I said, leaving them half dead. You know what that means? They're just barely existing. They're just barely existing. They're half alive. That means they're just breathing. But they're not accomplishing anything with their life. They're not accomplishing anything with their life. They're not living life to their fullest. They're not feeling what God has created them to do. Can I have amen? And so that's what the world's like. But remember in verse 33, now stay with me, I'm going somewhere. And put your seatbelt on tonight, amen. We're going somewhere tonight, and I'm going to show you this again. But in verse 33, you remember there's three things in verse 33 that God points out to us. He said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, remember the first thing was what? Let's read it out. Came where what? He was. He came where he was. Hey, God makes no mistakes in the Bible. He put this in order for a reason. Can I have amen? He didn't put compassion before going to him first. Amen? But look what he said. He came where he was. And then, look at the second part. He what? Saw him. He saw him. There's a comma. Do you see that? God is stopped now. He came where he was. He saw him. Then he had what? Compassion on him. You don't get the compassion until you go where they are. I mean, if you sit, as long as you sit in church, you're not going to get it. I said, you're not going to get it. The only way you're going to get compassion on these people out here, they're wounded, lonely, I mean, literally stripped of their joy and their happiness and in a cursed world and living a miserable life, the only way you're going to get it is to go where they are and see how they're living. That's the only way. So, But that's not enough. That's not enough. It's not enough just to have compassion. I mean, if we stop there, we have not finished the plan. We have not finished what God said to do here. Amen? And we're going to see the rest tonight. That it's not, what good is it going to do? Stay with me now. What good is it going to do me? The Bible says he came where he was, he saw him, and he had compassion on him. Now, okay, is everybody with me? So what he did, he didn't know, what good is he going to do if he's standing up there on the side of the hill weeping for him? Is this ain't working? Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me? Hey, what good is it going to do if he stands there on the hill, the guy's in the ditch, and he's weeping for him? You can sit there and cry all you want to. You can have compassion upon the guy that's in the fire all you want to. But until you go in where he's at and pull him out, it's not going to rescue him. It's not going to rescue him. Because now, God gives the rest of the plan. Amen? God gives the rest. Oh boy, I'm about to have a spell tonight. Amen? Look what he said in verse 34. Now the second part of the Good Samaritan. And now, look at the next four words. What does it say in verse 34? Read it out loud. And went to him. Well, wait a minute. In verse 33, it was just where he was at. But now, he's going, and he went to him. Well, he didn't go to him when he saw him. Can I have amen? He went where he was at, but he didn't go directly to him. Is everybody with me? You gotta see this. You gotta see this. This is in the Bible. Amen. He didn't go. What he did in verse 33, he went where he was at. But now, the Bible says, and then, what? He went to him. That means he got down in the ditch where he's at. That means he got down in the ditch where he's at. He didn't stand on the side and cheer for him. Amen? And feel sorry for him. Now he's getting in the ditch. Now he's going to go knock on his door. Now he's going to get in his house. Now he's going to go into jail. Now he's going to go in the streets and the highways and the hedges where he's at, and he's going to do something about it. He's going to do something about it. It's not going to do any good to have a burden for souls and not do anything about it. Now look what he said in verse 34. And he went to him, and now he's made that move. Does everybody see that? He's made that move. He's got down to death. He's rolled his sleeves up. He's getting dirty with him. I say he's getting dirty with him. He's getting down in the mud. He's getting blood all over. He's crawling right in there with him. I mean, right in the ditch with him. He's going right in that bar where he's at. He's going right in that wicked place he's at. He's going right there where he's at to get him out of that filthy ditch. And but this world's a filthy ditch. Amen. It's a filthy ditch, amen. But the only way you're gonna see God do anything is you get in a ditch, amen. And go get them, amen. And go get them and do something. Well, what are you gonna do when you get in a ditch? Well, the Bible tells you, amen. Look at the next part. The next part of that says, and what? Bound up his wounds. Oh my goodness, boy. And bound up his wounds. I'm coming down here where y'all are at. Amen. Amen. I got to look you in the eyeballs. Amen. And the Bible says, and he bound up his wounds. In Psalms 147, we read that verse the other day. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now, how am I going to bound up his wounds? How am I going to do it? I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give him the gospel. Amen. I'm going to tell him that Jesus Christ loves him and Jesus can save him. Amen. And that Jesus loves him, and I'm going to give him the gospel, and he's going to receive Christ as his Savior, and that way he's got the one that can bind up his wounds now. He's got the one. So what am I going to do? I came where he was. I saw him, and I didn't stop there. And I said, oh my goodness, he's in a mess. Now I'm going to get right down there where he's at. Amen. I'm going to get right in the ditch with him. Amen. I'm going to roll my sleeves up, and I'm going to scoop that boy up. I'm going to give him the gospel. Amen. I'm going to give him the gospel and tell him that Jesus will save him. Amen. And that Jesus loves him. And give him the gospel. And that old boy's going to get saved. And now his wounds can be bound up. Hey, Jesus said, Jesus will bound him eternally. Amen. He'll be bound eternally. Amen. Now he's got something that can help him. Amen. And the Bible says, so what am I going to do? I'm going to give him the one that can bound him. I'm going to give him the gospel. I'm going to go down the plan of salvation, and I'm going to show him he's a sinner. Amen. And I'm going to show him that wages of that sin is death and hell. And I'm going to show him you don't want to go to hell when you die. And Jesus died on the cross and paid for all that sin. Now it's a gift. Amen. Now you can have it. Amen. And once he bows his head and he trusts Christ as his Savior, look what's going to happen next. Oh, I'm about to have a spell. Amen. Look at this. Look in verse 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in what? Does anybody know what oil represents in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So what am I going to do? Are you ready? I'm going to give that old boy the gospel. I'm going to come where he's at. I'm going to see him. God's going to break my heart. Then I'm going to crawl in that filthy ditch with him, and I'm going to give him the gospel. He's going to get saved, and he's going to immediately receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When you trust Christ as your Savior, immediately you receive the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:13 says that when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. When that lady got saved today, he moved in. He moved in. Amen. The Holy Spirit. It says he's sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, hold on just a minute. Hold on. What does seal mean? Well, it can mean several things. First of all, a stamp, a seal. You know, like the Roman soldier had a seal that when it was stamped, it was final. That was it. You know what I'm saying? But also, I think of a word seal. How many of you know what canon is? Canon beans and peaches and, you know, the good stuff. Amen. I'm not talking about a lot of this stuff you buy at Walmart. Amen. Canned stuff. I'm talking about the real good canned apple stuff. I'm talking about stuff in the winter when you open up and you get it warm and you make homemade biscuits. Amen. And I mean, it's so good it'll make you slap your grandma. Amen. It's so good. And I'm talking about that kind of stuff. Everybody with me? Stuff I was raised on in North Carolina. Hey, listen. But I used to watch my mama can that stuff. And you know what she would do? She'd take them jars, you know, and take them lids and put on there and put it in there like a pressure cooker, like a boiling water. And then all of a sudden you would hear something go, you know, go like that. You didn't know I was so talented, did you? Amen. And what it was doing, it was sealing. It was sealing. And what it was doing is preserving, amen, on the inside. And it would stay preserved until somebody opened it. Well, buddy, when I got saved, amen, the day that I came down and said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved, buddy, I was sealed, amen, and I am preserved unto the day of Jesus Christ, amen, to the day, hey, he says I'm preserved, I can swing over hell on a rotten banana peel and be safe, amen, hey, all right, because I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, amen. So therefore, when that old boy gets saved, he don't only have Jesus now. He's not only bound eternally, but he's got a Holy Spirit living that comforts him, that teaches him, that convicts him, that guides him, that leads him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I mean, that boy's got a chance now. Amen. He's got the Holy Spirit in him. He's got the Holy Spirit in him. And now that boy's got a chance. So wait a minute. So what am I going to do? I'm not only going to come where he's at. I'm not only going to see him, but I'm not only going to have compassion on him. I'm going to go where he's at. And I'm going to give him the gospel. He's going to get saved and bound by Jesus. Amen. No man can pluck him out of his hand. I said, no man pluck him out of his hand. And now he is sealed by the Holy Spirit. So what else am I going to do? And then look at the next part of that verse. And it says, verse 34, pouring in oil and what? Wine. Wine. The Bible says wine's good for the stomach shape. It's a medicine. Did you know that? Wine's like a medicine. Now, don't get excited and say, I'm going to go buy me a bottle tonight. Amen. Because if you study, even lost Jewish people know this, preacher. Even lost Jewish people know that wine in the Bible is not, that when you see wine in the scripture, it's not talking about the alcoholic beverage. It's a grape juice to them. It's great. Now we have changed it to a wine. We have called, you know, wine and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is that they know that. But what he's talking about here, wine, is talking about, and when it says wine's good for stomach, say, it's like a medicine. It's good for your digestive system. If you don't believe me, drink a lot of grape juice. You won't be here tomorrow night. Amen. You won't be here tomorrow night. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, it's good for your digestive system. Well, let me tell you something. So what am I going to do now? Well, the best medicine that I can give that convert is the Word of God. So what am I going to do? Okay, here's how I'm going to... And I'm teaching you some things here tonight. I'm teaching you how to be a good soul winner, but also a good discipler. How to disciple your converts. How to get them here and get them in church. Amen. How to get them baptized. Amen. How to do these things. So what am I going to do? I'm not only going to come where he's at, I'm going to see him, and God's going to break my heart, but then I'm going to get in the ditch where he's at, and I'm going to give him the gospel. Amen. I'm going to give him the gospel. He's going to get the Holy Spirit, and the next time, before I even get him to church, I'm going to get a Bible in his hand. I'm going to get a Bible in his hand. Because he can start reading the Word of God before he gets to church. He can start reading the Bible. You can't grow without the Bible. You can't grow without the Bible. Amen. You've got to have the Word of God every day. You got to eat the Bible every day. I love the song, read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Grow, grow, and you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Well, I better not do it. Grow, grow, grow. Amen. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, well, same way with that convert. Amen. And so what you want to do, y'all as a church, you want to go ahead and order you some Bibles. Get you some Bibles here. Get you some Bibles. As you win your convert, immediately go back and give them a Bible. Go back before Sunday and get a Bible back in their hands. Amen. Give them a Bible and say, I want to give you a Bible. And here where you can start reading John Romans. Amen. Starting John and Romans, reading the Bible and growing. And start helping them grow. Amen. Start helping them grow. And so now, look, what's happened? I came where he was. I saw him. God broke my heart. Now I'm going to give him the gospel. He's going to get saved and he's going to be bound by Jesus, amen. Now he's got somebody can heal his wounds, amen. Now he's got somebody can help him. I'm not talking about pills. I'm not talking about doctors. I'm talking about the Savior, amen. The one that can heal any broken heart, amen. And I that he's going to get that Holy Spirit in him, amen. That's going to guide him and lead him and teach him and convict him and show him and comfort him, amen. It's going to help him every day. Every day. And then we're going to get the Word of God, the very words of God in his hand. And that boy's going to start gulping it. Amen. He's going to start feeding on the Bible. And then look what the next part is. Look what the next part. And it says, and he went to him and bound up his wound, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own what? Beast. Now, folks, I wish y'all knew Greek like I did. I'm a Greek scholar. Not really. Amen. The only Greek I know is that little restaurant on the corner. Amen. Amen. But look at that first letter, a beast. It's a what? A B. That's translated a bus. Can I have amen? A bus. Can I have amen? Bust them in. Bust them in. Amen. Hey, you know what that is? That old boy used his own transportation. But you don't even have to use a bus. You can use your own car. I said you can use your own car. God didn't give you that car just to put your behonkis in only. Amen. Can I have amen? Can I have amen? That's a Greek word too. Amen. Hey, God didn't only give you that car for that. God gave you that car to bring converts into church. I said, you can use your own car to go get those babies. Amen. When my child was born, I didn't say, be at the supper table at 6. Amen. I didn't say that. You know what I did? I went and got that baby and picked it up and brought it to the table. Can I have amen? That's what you got to do with your converts. You got to win them to Christ. You got to get a Bible in their hand. You got to get them in your car and bring them to church. Amen. Bring them to church. Amen. Bring them in. Hey, put them in your car. Bring them to church. What'd it be like if everybody this Sunday went out and won somebody to God and pulled up with a convert in their car? You're talking about revival, amen. You're talking about something exciting, amen. It's everybody's bringing their own people they won to Christ, amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting when you bring your own converts to Christ and to church. But look what the Bible says in the next part. Look what it says. Not only did he pick him up, put him on his own transportation, but he brought him to a what? How many of you say that? An inn. By the way, that's not the Holiday Inn. Can I have amen? But the best inn that you can bring your converts is the church house. The church house. I'm talking about the local church. The local church that God ordained. Amen. The local New Testament fundamental Baptist church. Amen. That God has ordained. God has ordained. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. There is nothing. You know what's going to happen now? That old boy, you came where he was. You saw him. And you saw him and God broke your heart. You got right down there and you gave him the gospel. And he got bound by Jesus. Amen. Now the Holy Spirit's moved in him. He's going to convict him. He's going to comfort him. He's going to guide him. He's going to lead him. Amen. Not only that, you're going to stick the Bible, the Word, the very Word of God, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that's powerful. Amen. It's going to be in his hand. It's going to be in his hands. He's going to put it in his mind, his heart. and then you're going to come by on Sunday. You're going to come by on Sunday morning. You're going to knock on his door. You're going to be knocking on his door. Wake up, wake up. We got church, amen. We got church, amen. And you're going to follow up. You're going to get him in church. You're going to bring him to church. You're going to walk him in, and you're going to say, "Hey, brother, I want you to meet Bill. What's your name, brother? Eric, come here, Eric. I just want Eric to Christ, amen. And he's coming to church with me, and I'm gonna say, "Hey, brother, I want you to meet Eric. He got saved the other day, amen." You know what that guy, you know what he's gonna do? He's not gonna say, "That's wonderful." You know why? You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, "Brother, that's great. Amen. Man, I'm excited. I'm going to be praying for you." He hadn't had nobody praying for him. Now he's got somebody who's going to pray for him. Amen. Now he got somebody he cares about. "Hey, brother, let me pray with you. Hey, let me show you where your Sunday school class is. Hey, let me show you." And I walk in Sunday school class with him, and I say, "Hey, this is Eric. He got saved this week." The whole class is going to say, "Oh, great, 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 great. Amen. He got saved this week." And everybody's going to rally around him, and they're going to love him and support him. "Hey, is everybody with me?" That's exactly what will help this boy that's broken and wounded. Amen. He's got somebody that loves him now. He's got a church that loves him. He's got a preacher that loves him. Amen. He's got somebody that cares about him now. Amen. You can sit down there. Hey, I'm telling you that the best place to bring them is in the church house. Amen. And they can be loved, and they can be led, and they can be cared for. Can I have amen? And those things. So what are you going to do? You're going to bring them to an end. And then look at the next part. Look at the next part. And the Bible says, he said, bring him to an end and took care of him. He took care of him. You want to take care of your converts. You want to take care of your converts. Can I have amen? Watch after them. The devil's after them. He would love to ruin. He's already mad they're saved. Can I have amen? He's mad as the devil. Amen. Oh, he is the devil. But he's mad as the devil that they got saved. But now, that's why now you want to take care of them. In verse 35, "And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" You know what it's going to do? It's going to cost you financially. Hey, I said it's going to cost you financially. Folks, if you're going to, look, if you care about somebody, you're going to reach in your pocket and help take care of them. You're going to do whatever you can to keep the buses rolling on the road. It's going to cost you financially. I said it's going to cost you financially. And bus kids will not give to it. They take money. They don't give money. Amen. I know bus kids. But the truth of the matter is somebody's got to care for them. Somebody's got to. The bus ministry is going to cost you. The soul win is going to cost you. I said it's going to cost you. You're going to have to buy more tracks. Yeah, I mean, but that's a good problem. Can I have amen? Missionaries are going to cost you. I said missionaries are going to cost you. It's going to cost you to have a soul winning church. It's going to cost you finance. You're going to have to buy food. You have to feed them. I said you're going to have to feed them. They're going to come in. They're going to want food. They're going to want clothes. They're going to want you to help take care of some of their bills. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. But it's worth it. That's worth it. The Bible says he that considereth the poor in the time of their need, I'll remember you in your time of need. Can I have amen? I'm telling you, it's going to cost you financially to be a soul winning church. But if you care about people, you're not only going to go where they are. You're not only going to go where they are, but you're going to see them. And you're not going to just have compassion on them, but now you're going to go right directly to where they're at. And you're going to get down in the ditch where they're at. and you're going to give them the gospel, and they're going to get saved. And then what you're going to do, they're going to get the Holy Spirit. Amen. They're going to get the Holy Spirit. And then what you're going to do, you're going to make sure you go right back, get a Bible in their hands, and show them the where to start growing. And then you're going to bring them to church. They say, well, I got a car. Say, no, that's okay. You can ride with me this Sunday. At least come this Sunday with me. Because you know why? The devil's going to try to find something to keep them out of church. Can I have amen? And I go back, hey, listen, I've drugged people out still sleeping in bed. I've gone in their house and grabbed them by the ankle. I'm serious. I'm serious. I drove a drunk guy one time. He trying to cough out on me, and I walked right in his house, got him by the ankle, drug him out of bed. He was still in his underwear, everything. And I helped dress him. Got him in the car. He came to church. Can I tell you something, though? That old boy's still in church. That boy's living for the Lord. I hadn't drunk a drop of liquor in years. You want to hear his testimony about me coming to get him out of bed. Amen. But he's glad. Can I have amen? Hey, folks, can I tell you something? Listen to me. I'm telling you that not only is you going to have to burn your gas in your car to go get them. Can I have amen? But you're going to get them to church. And you're going to make sure they're taken care of at church. And they stay in church. You're going to take care of them. But then also it's going to cost you financially. It's going to cost you. Okay. It's going to cost you money. You're going to have to get some extra money. You're going to have to do it. I was in Bible college. I didn't have a few dollars. I had to buy Kool-Aid for my bus kids and bus promotions and things like that. I had to pay for my own bus promotion. But can I tell you, God always took care of me. God always took care of me. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you if you're going to serve God. I said it's going to cost you if you're going to serve God. I'm telling you, it cost me to serve God. It cost me a lot to serve God. I was telling you, preacher, just the other day, I was telling that I get churches called. I don't go to, you know, I'm not a big time preacher. I don't go to these big name churches. They don't want me there, I don't think. But I don't go to these big, a lot of big names. I go to a lot of struggling churches. Some preachers call me and say, we don't have the money. We're not going to be able to give you an offering or anything. And I said, and I always tell them, say, look, I never called you and told you I need this much to come. I never called and tell you that I need this much to come. I said, God, when God called me to preach, God just told me to go. This preacher called me one day. He said, preacher, I don't think we'll be able to have you. He said, I've had some situations come up and our offerings are not good. And he said, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to bring you if I can't take care of you. I said, brother, let me tell you something. You'll always be my friend. But the devil is trying to keep something from happening at your church here. I said, I tell you what you do. You put a cot up, you know, a little bed up in the Sunday school room, and I'll sleep in the Sunday school room. I'll bathe out of the bathroom sink. That's what I told him. I said, you just put me a little bed up in there. Don't worry about a motel room, nothing like that. And I'll sleep in there. I'll sleep in the church. I said, all I need is a bed and a place to pray. That's all I need. And I said, brother, I'm going to come help your church. I'm coming. I said, he just started crying on the phone. He just started bawling on the phone. Now listen to me. I had $23 in my checking account. $23. And I had a quarter of a tank of gas. Quarter of a tank of gas. Now you try to drive all the way from North Carolina to St. Louis on that. It don't match. Can I have amen? It don't match. So my wife said, how in the world are you going to do that? I said, I don't know, honey. I'll go as far as I can, and then when I run out of gas, maybe there's somebody there that needs to be saved. That's what I told her. I was putting my luggage. Now, listen, the day I was leaving, quarter of a tank of gas, brother, my car, $23, my checking account. I lived week to week, week to week, trusting the Lord. And I got in there, and I put... I was putting luggage in my car, and my pastor called at the church I work out of, Daryl Cox, out of Trinity Baptist Church in Mossville. He called and said, "Brother Brian," he said, "where are you at?" I said, "Well, preacher, I'm getting ready to leave to go to St. Louis." He said, "Well, I'm right nearby." He said, "Come over here to Love's Truck Stop. I'm going to fill your tank up for you." He had no idea. So I'm pulling out, getting ready to go get my tank filled up and leave. My mama called. Now listen to this, my mom called. She said, "Craig, are you going near, the grandkids' house?" She said, "I got a couple gifts to send to them." I said, "Yeah, I'm going near there, Mom." She said, "Well, can you, I'll put them on the steps. You just get them when you come by the house." Hadn't even got our driveway yet. They live right there on property. Same property I do. I pulled by the steps there, and there was an envelope on those gifts that said, "Craig, have my name on it." I got in the car and opened it up, and there was a $50 bill in there. I hadn't even got our driveway yet. I got to the end of the driveway, and I said, "You know what? I didn't check the mail yesterday." And I went to the mailbox. There was a check in there from a church just decided to start supporting me. They just decided to start for $35 a month. And I got a check for $35. Buddy, I didn't even want to leave the driveway. I was just waiting on things, amen? Now listen to this. I had a full tank of gas, $85. And this is when gas had taken a dive. I made it to Nashville, and I filled my tank up for $1.62 a gallon. It only cost me like $20, $25. Got me to St. Louis. And God took care, and we saw many people get saved and revival break out. Folks, now let me tell you something. You say, "Well, I don't have it." Yeah, but let me tell you something. God's got it. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll help people and spend your life reaching souls, God will take care of you. God will meet every need that you've ever... I've been doing it 40 years now. 40 years. I've watched God. Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you." Can I have amen? I'll end with this story. When I was a bus captain at Forest Hills Baptist Church. Preach, could I have a glass of water there? I was at Forest Hills Baptist Church. I was a bus captain. Thank you, brother. I came to this house that it was condemned. It was a condemned house. And it was all run down, and you know, and matter of fact, it had papers on the house said condemned. Well, I came to the door and I knocked on the door, and this guy came to the door. I mean, that house looked like it was about to fall down. And I heard people living in there. Well, I knocked on the door, and this guy come running to the door. Now picture this. And his hair was sticking up. It looked like a hand grenade went off in it. And he had on plaid pants. Had on plaid pants. He was a teenage boy. I didn't know at the time, but he was 16 years old. And he had a flannel shirt on. And he had plaid pants and a flannel shirt on. And he had high top Converse tennis shoes. Them red ones. Y'all remember those? You remember them? You probably still got them, don't you, brother? They still wear them, don't you? Amen. But he had these high top Converse tennis shoes on. Well, his pants were jacked way up here. I'm not kidding. They were pulled way up here. And I would show you, but I got something in the way. But anyway, he was pulled way up. Skinny is a string bean. Well, he came to the door and I said, "Hi, my name is Brother Craig. I'm with Forest Hills Baptist Church." And, I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name Willie." I said, "Really?" Amen. Like that. And he said, "Yeah, my name's Willie." And I said, "Well, Willie, I'm glad to meet you." I said, "Listen," I said, "we got a bus that comes by and we pick kids up on Sunday morning. We bring them to Sunday school and church and we have a great time." He said, "Really?" I said, Really? He said, you mean, you want me to go to church? You want me to go to church? I said, yeah, I want you to go to church. He said, oh boy, I get to go to church. Well, by that time, he went running out there and down the hallway of the house. And he got there and he told his, he said, Mama, he said, I'm going to church tomorrow. I get to go to church tomorrow. Well, then all of a sudden he stopped. And he turned around and he came back to the porch. He said, I can't go to your church tomorrow. He said, I can't go to your church. I said, well, why? He said, come here. And we walked out on the porch, and there was a Baptist church, high class type Baptist church, called Wilbur Baptist Church. And it's just rich folks, I think, went to that church. He said, well, I used to go to that church, but they say I can't come there no more. I can't go to it no more. I said, well, why? He said, they say I'm retarded. They say I'm retarded. I said, well, really? You can go to our church. We're all retarded. Amen. He said, really? And so he took off down the hall. He said, Mama. He said, I go to the church. They're all retarded. Amen. And she said, yes, you can go. You can go. Amen. I think she was glad to get rid of him. Amen. Well, the next morning, I pulled by there. And I blew the horn and stuff. Well, he didn't come out. And I thought, man, he was all excited about coming to church, and now he's not coming. So I started to pull off. Well, when I started to pull off, all of a sudden the kid said, here he comes. And I'm not kidding, with them pants pulled way up, and his legs were jacked way up, running around the house. Well, brother, and I'm not kidding, I stopped the bus, opened the door. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. He stood on the ground. I have never seen anybody leap like that boy could leap. He jumped to the tip top of the bus steps off the ground, jumped on and landed on the top step, top of the bus steps there. And he went, woo-hoo-hoo, I'm Willie. Well, all the kids went, and I went, you know. And finally I said, okay, Willie, okay, sit down. And I said, just sit down back here behind me. He sat down behind me. Well, he's sitting on the front seat and he's bouncing. He's just bouncing on the seat. Well, every time I tried to turn, I was driving the bus, he was bouncing. I couldn't hardly see. And I said, Willie, now be still. He said, okay, Buttercrack. He said, I'll be still. And finally we were riding along and he said, Buttercrack, he said, this morning when I got up, the devil was sitting on the edge of my bed. I said, oh, really? So I thought, well, I'll just play along with this a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'll just play along with it. And I said, well, Willie, what did the devil say? He said, what did the devil say? He said, Willie, you're not going to church today. But he said, Buttercrack, he said, I fooled that sucker. When he turned his head, I jumped out the window. Amen. That's why he was running around the house, I guess. Amen. And, you know, and I've thought about that many times. So, brother, we laugh about that. But the truth of the matter is, when we wake up in the morning, the devil's sitting on the edge of our bed. And it ain't your wife, man. Amen. But I listen, you know, the devil's saying, don't read your Bible today. Don't pray today. Don't differ than Willie saw it, you know. Well, we got to church and he went to church, Sunday school and church. Well, after church, after church, we had 77 buses at that church. That's a lot of buses, 77 buses. And we had all captains had to sit on their bus waiting on the kids to come, because you didn't want to leave them kids on there by themselves. They'd kill each other. Amen. So we're sitting on the bus. Well, all of a sudden, and Forest Hills was a little fancy, you know, I mean, it wasn't fancy, but they had some little high-class people there. And this lady, these two little old ladies were coming, there was a sidewalk there, and there was bushes on both sides of that sidewalk. Well, these two little old ladies come walking down the sidewalk, you know, and one of them even had a fur, kind of a fur thing around her neck. Which they come prancing down through there, and all of a sudden I saw Willie coming. Wide open, with them legs jacked up, and there was nowhere to go but between them two old ladies. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh no, this don't look good. And he busts between them two little old ladies and knocked one of them in the bushes. And I thought, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Well, he got to the bus, and I was ready to chew him out for knocking that old lady in the bushes, you know. Well, he stood on the ground and bounced to the tip top of them steps. And I'm ready to chew him out. And he goes, "Woo-hoo-hoo! I got saved!" And I said, "What?" And all the kids cheered. "Yay! Willie got saved!" You know? And I said, "What did you say, Willie?" He said, "I got saved! Amen!" Well, I forgot about the old lady in the bushes. Amen! Amen! We were excited Willie got saved. Amen! Well, finally we got to going home. We're riding home on the bus, and there's Willie bouncing on the seat, you know. And finally Willie said, Butterquake, he said, "I want to get baptized." I said, "What?" He said, "I want to get baptized." I said, "Baptized?" He said, "Yeah, I want to get baptized." I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Okay, well, we'll ask your mama when you get home, and then you get back on the bus, come on back the church we've been, we'll baptize you tonight." He said, okay. Well, he goes, and she was glad to get rid of him again, amen. And she said, "Yeah, get him, drown him, amen." But I take him. So Willie got on the bus, back on the bus, and it was kind of late in the afternoon. We're getting back, and we hadn't eaten. So we stopped at McDonald's. Well, we ordered our food. Well, and so we're standing there, and there's Willie standing there, you know, his hair blown up, and you know, got them plaid pants and jack way up, and he's standing by. Well, after I paid for my food, I raised my hand and said, "Here, I want to give you a gospel tract to read when you get a chance." And so I left, and we sat down, and we were sitting there eating our food. Well, I was eating my food. But you ever felt like you were eating and somebody was staring at you? Well, I looked up, and Willie's sitting there going, he's just staring at me. And I said, "Willie," I said, "go ahead and eat your food." And he said, "What did you give that lady?" I said, "I gave her a gospel tract. That tells you how you know for sure you're going to heaven." He said, "I believe I can do that." He said, Give me one. Now, I want you to picture this. But the next table over was a woman over there, now a black woman, and down south we call them mamas. She weighed, I know, at least 400 or 500 pounds. I am not kidding. That was the biggest black woman I believe I have ever, biggest white, it had been white, it had been the biggest white one. She was a whopper at a McDonald's, amen? And so Willie goes over there, he takes that track, and he marches over to that lady, and just like that, he said, "Here, fatso, read this, amen." I could have died, preacher. I could have died. He never read that book on Let's Go Soul Winning by Dr. Howes, you know. I could just picture it, amen. A 400-pound black woman kills retarded boy in McDonald's, you know, on front of the Atlanta Journal, amen. And so I go, "Willie," I said, "get over here." I said, "Sit down." He said, "What did I do, Brother Quick? What did I do?" I said, "Just sit down. Eat your food." I was mad. I mean, we just sit there and eat, and I kept looking up, see if she was going to charge or something, you know, but I kept looking up, you know, And Willie's sitting there, and about the time I looked up and I looked over at that lady and I saw her take that track. And I saw her open that track, begin to read that gospel track. In a few minutes, I saw that lady bow her head and she prayed that prayer and trusted Christ as her Savior. After she got saved, I was glad she got saved. Amen. And maybe God changed her heart. Amen. But after she got saved, I walked over and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I want to apologize." I said, "I apologize." I said, "He didn't know any better." She said, "Oh, no, no." Now, if I'd have done that, she'd have killed me probably. But she knew Willie had problems. And I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry." I said, I said, "I don't think he meant that, you know." She said, "Oh, no, I understand. I said, "Well, can I ask you something? I saw you read that gospel track, and I said, did you pray that prayer, and did you mean that with your heart?" She said, I sure did. I said, "Where are you going now when you die?" She said, I'm going to heaven. I said, "I'm so glad you got saved." Hey, we went by, preacher, the next week and picked that woman up on bus, and we baptized her. We baptized her. Boy, you talking about rocking, the water's rocking. Amen. But we baptized that lady. We baptized her. Well, that night, Willie got baptized. We went to church. It was so funny. I mean, Forest Hill is about 2,500 seat auditorium. It was packed full. I'm sitting in the middle, and they take Willie down in the water in the pool. He come out, and he goes, "Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm Willie!" Amen. He said, Hey, Brother Craig, I'm getting baptized. I said, Hey, Willie. Amen. Well, by that time, they took him back and they baptized him, and he came out of the water and said, "Woo-hoo-hoo! I got baptized!" Amen. And the whole church, you know, just clapped and cheered. Well, that night, and Forest Hills had a big track rack. And I'm not kidding. We had missionaries that night. They were showing their slides and things like that, missionaries. And so Willie decided he's going to be a missionary now. So he told me the whole way, "I'm going to be a missionary." He said, "I'm going to be a missionary." Well, he went to the track. I'm not kidding, preacher. Our track rack would take up that whole site. That's how big our track rack. Well, we had a lot of soul winners, all of, and Willie cleaned that whole thing out. I am not kidding. He had tracks sticking everywhere in his pocket and everything. And one of the men even got mad at him for taking all the tracks, you know. But Willie said, I'm a missionary. Well, he went home that night. We got him home. And the next Saturday, I showed up to visit Willie. When I got there, he came out and said, Hey, Brother Craig, look what I got. And he handed me three pieces of notebook paper that had been torn out of a spiral notebook. They were torn out. And on the front and the back of each one of those papers were addresses and names. I said, "Willie, who's this?" He said, "These people got saved this week." I said, "What?" He can't read. Willie can't read, can't write. And each one of those addresses, you could tell, were different handwriting. And I said, "Willie, these people didn't get saved." "He did, they did. They got saved." I said, "Oh, come on, Will. There ain't no way." And, well, I just kind of shook it off, you know. Well, the next week when I came back, the same thing happened. He had 3, 4, 5 pieces of spiral notebook, addresses on the front, address on the back, names on them. I said, "Will, what is it?" He said, "These people got saved, priest." He said, "Brother Quake, they got saved." I said, "Will, what are you doing?" I said, "How you doing this?" He said, "I did on the martyr train." The martyr train. The martyr train is a transit train. Goes all over Atlanta. It's all over Atlanta. It goes from the suburbs right into Atlanta, right downtown Atlanta. And well, because he's handicapped or retired, he gets a free ticket. And he can ride. He can ride that train all over Atlanta. And he said, "They got saved." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, I'll show you how to do it. He said, "You be at Avondale Station Monday morning, and I'll show you." I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it. Well, I was at 6:30 in the morning. I was at Avondale Station. And all of a sudden, here come that train in. You know, it was empty when it pulled in. I mean, except one guy was on there, and it was Willie. He sat over there in plaid pants, though, and the hair blown up everywhere. And he pulled up in there, a train coming in. Well, now listen, businessmen, I'm talking about business people. Man, some of these guys look like they had $1,000 suits on. I mean, briefcases. I mean, all kinds of working type people got on that train going back down into town in Atlanta and working downtown. It was packed. So I got on there, and I'm sitting there in the middle of all these people, and all of a sudden those doors shut. All of a sudden those doors just went shut. And Willie stood up. He stood up. He said, "Folks," he said, "my name Willie." He said, "I just want to tell y'all what Jesus did for me. I want to tell you what Jesus did for me." He said, "One day, Brother Craig came by, and he knocked on my door, asked me to come to church. There's Brother Craig right there. Say hey, Brother Craig, say hey." I said, hey. He said, "I just want to tell you what Jesus did for me." He said, "Now I got these tracks," and they were sticking out. I mean, they were sticking out everywhere in his pockets and everywhere. And old Willie pulled them tracks, big handful of tracks, and he walked up this businessman. I'm not kidding. That man looked, you know, like a Philadelphia lawyer. I mean, he walked up to him and he said, "Sir," he said, "pass these out for me." He said, "pass these out for me." And that businessman took those tracks and got up and started passing out all them tracks. And he came back. Now listen to this, brother. He came back and he sat down. He said, "Sir, don't sit down." He said, "I can't read." He said, "Can you read that paper to everybody? Can you read it?" And that man stood there and he began to read that gospel tract. And he read the part about, said, first part where it says, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Willie, that guy read that verse. He said, that guy said, "For all have sinned." Willie said, "That's right, y'all sinners. Y'all did that thing wrong. Y'all sinners." The guy, after the guy read that verse, then he got to the part where it said, "For the wages of sin is death." Then he read Revelation 20, verse 14, "And death and hell were cast in line." And Willie said, "That right." Said, "Hell will." Said, "You don't want to go to hell. It hot." He said, "It hot." Said, "You don't want bun. Don't want bun. It hot." And then the man read in Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ..." And we said, "That's right. Jesus loved you. He died. They were mean to him." He said, "They were mean." He said, "They beat him and they nailed him to a cross." He said, "They spit on him." He said, "They were mean to him." He said, "He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve it. But he did it because he loved you. He loved you." And preacher, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Tears started falling in there. I saw people, water coming in their eyes. And then all of a sudden he said, "But Jesus died and he arose from dead." And he said, "Now if you pray that prayer on that paper, you can get saved. You can get saved." He said, "Sir, read that prayer. Read that prayer." And right there, I saw that man, brother, bow his head with that $1,000 suit on, businessman. He read that prayer, and you could hear people praying all over that train. And people received Christ as their Savior on that train. after they got saved. Well, he said, now, I had this notebook, at the big spiral notebook, about that thick, you know. He pulled that thing. He said, now, I'm gonna pass this around. Y'all put your name and address on there, cause Brother Craig gonna come see you. So Brother Craig gonna come see you. And they passed that notebook around, people writing their name and address on that paper. Now wait a minute, stay with me. Brother, Forest Hills had pews probably as long, I'm not kidding, those pews were about from there to that fan. That's about how long their pews were in a different section. And one night, on a Sunday night, we had 8 of those pews packed full of Willie's converts. And they were all, every one of them were baptized. Every one of them were baptized. Boy, we were slam dunking them that night. Amen. Now let me ask you a question and I'm done. If a retarded boy can do it, what's your problem? If a retarded boy knows how to do it, then what's your excuse? Can I have amen? If God can use a little retarded boy that nobody, I mean even a church wouldn't even let him come to because they said he's retarded, then what do you think God could do with you? See, the only reason it's not being done, you're just not doing it. Now let me read this verse and I'm done. Look at the end of this Good Samaritan. And the Bible said in verse 36, they said, which now of these three thinkest I was neighbor unto him that fell among the thief? He's talking about, remember, he's talking about the Good Samaritan. He's talking about the priest. And he's talking about the Levite, remember? He's talking about, he said, which of these three do you think was neighbor that fell among the thieves? In verse 37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, what's that next word? Go. 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 He didn't say go if you know how. He didn't say go if you want to. He said just go. Go. Go and do thou likewise. The thing that will keep you from going is not going. Amen. The thing, well, you need to decide that I'm going to just start going. Amen. And I'm going to just go. Let God give you power. Let God lead you. Hey, God can help you do it. Amen. God can help you be a great. If He can use a retarded boy, God can use you. Amen. Why don't you just decide tonight that I'm just going. Amen. You say, well, I don't know what to say. You'll learn what to say. Amen. You'll learn what you're supposed to do. But you'll never learn until you go. Amen. The first two letters of gospel is go. Go. Can I have amen? Don't you think God wants you to go tonight? Oh my goodness. The only thing that, look, don't you realize the church God wants you to be is not a sitting church. Not just a compassionate church. Can I have amen? Not a church that just goes where they are and look at them and cry for them. But He wants you to be a church to get in the ditch with them. And He don't want you to stop there. He wants you to win them. And then He wants you to get a Bible in your hand. And He wants you to bring them to church. And He wants you to get them baptized. And He wants you to teach them. And He wants you to love them. And He wants you to care for them. Amen. And teach them how to go get somebody. And teach them how to go get somebody. Amen. And care for that person. And rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, that's the kind of church that God wants this church to be. Is a church that goes in all the world and preach the gospel. Who's going to do it? What church is going to do it around here? What church is going to do it? Jehovah Witness? Jehovah False Witness? Amen. The morons? Mormons? Amen. Who's going to do it? The Catholics? No, sir, buddy. They want to be blood-washed Baptists like you are, amen, that carry the good news of Jesus Christ, amen, and carry the gospel to a lost and dying world tonight. Oh, just go tonight.